The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.
Or on X at Volnick Jake. I want your most overrated Thanksgiving food. We'll take them out Rushmore because that's what we're about to do, all right? Me, Bone behind the board, Anthony behind the glass. We're going full hack radio style, as Nick Wilson would put it. We're going draft of most overrated food, okay? And if you don't know how it's going to work, we're going serpentine. We'll go front to back and then back to front. And I want overrated, okay? This isn't the worst Thanksgiving food. This is what you consider overrated. And why don't we kick it off? I'm gonna let everybody else go first. I'll take the back end, little snake at the back. Boom, why don't you kick us off? I want 101, the most overrated food on Thanksgiving.
Well, I think you have to start with the elephant in the room, right? Or dare I say, turkey in the room, because it's got to be turkey. I mean, there's a reason that you're only having this once, maybe twice a year. And chicken is so much better every time. Like, what are we doing here? Turkey, most overrated dish in Thanksgiving. One of the most overrated proteins in existence of the human consumption.
I would find myself a little bit of difficulty to disagree. I think that's the solid 101, huh? 102.
So Anthony. Are you going white turkey or dark?
All of it.
He wants the whole thing. The whole bird. Bird on the
hate
table.
All of it.
Not good.
Can I only pick one? Do I have to break it in half?
No, you get the whole turkey.
All right. I vehemently disagree, but I guess that's what this is about. Homemade cranberry sauce. Run the ball up the middle. Buy it from the store. Get it out of the can. Anything homemade is going to be gelatinous and weird. There's going to be pineapples in it. If my aunt is listening, I apologize. But
don't apologize. Hold true.
Homemade cranberry sauce is just not good.
I'm inclined to agree with you, but I bet a homemade cranberry could be done well. And I love fruit, so I'm intrigued by the pineapple. But
it's just another food that we never eat anytime else.
Cranberry sauce. Wait, but so you're going like store bought's perfectly okay?
Store bought's fantastic. The little slivers.
Oh, see, I'm the canned
cranberry sauce.
The canned cranberry sauce.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It comes out. Gelatinous. I mean, we're talking that stuff is basically Jello in a can. Cranberry sauce in general. I'm right there with you. I'll take the 103, and I'll have the back to backs in this scenario. I get a lot of flack for this. My 101 with what's left on the board is mashed potatoes. Mashed potatoes are the most overrated thing on the planet. I will live and die on that hill every day of the week. Like, maybe it's a more texture thing for me. Like, it just does not a good taste. Not a good taste in the. It's bland. I don't know why everyone's like, hey, if you got to smother something in gravy, it's bad. Right? If you have to smother something in gravy or put butter and everything else, cheese into it, like, it's not good. Why do we live with this? The texture throws me off. There's no taste. That'll be easy. Easy number one pick for me. Honestly, it might have beat turkey.
What about like, what if it's like the chunky mashed potatoes?
Nope, doesn't matter.
None of it.
Not a mashed potato person. I'm not a potato person. And I come from, like, my family is, like, Eastern European descent, right? We are, like, I'm basically spewing to you, like, the worst of the worst. Okay? Like, I should be shunned from my country of origin, probably, for saying this. But, like, it's not good. I guess this sort of overrated, this might not fall into the category, but I also can't stand this and think the combination is weird. Sweet potato casserole. Sweet potato casserole is on the list. Like, potatoes, which I do like sweet potatoes a lot better, by the way. But when you mix it with marshmallow, like, I don't like when, if I get sweet potato fries, they'll give me like a marshmallow fluff to dip it in. No, just give me like a honey mustard or something. That's perfectly fine. I don't need all the marshmallow fluff. I'll take that at the two and we circle back around. Anthony, what do you got?
Completely agree with that take. I am going to go, this is where we might get hot here. Dinner rolls, Hawaiian rolls, anything like that. Why are we doing that? Why are we putting that on the Thanksgiving plate?
Is cornbread included in that?
Yeah, throw it all in. Oh. A weird little bread square? No.
Oh, that's like the best part.
What? How are you going to put stuffing on your plate and then throw on more loaves of carbs?
Bread on bread. Bread on bread.
Palate cleanser.
The palate. It just doesn't make any sense to me at all. Like Italian bread, any bread. That doesn't make any sense unless you're doing a day after sandwich.
I'll live with it. Bone, what do you got for your two?
You know what? I try to avoid like going all out on carbs, so I'm okay with cutting a little bit out. I'm okay with that.
All right.
Now I will say the sweet potato casserole, I had that on my list, but I thought that's a little bit of a reach. Not to get too Mel Kiper on you here. But it felt like a bit of a reach, Jake. Now, this one might be a bit controversial. I'm going to say creamy mac and cheese. Because to me, and I know that I might be in the minority here, but to me, when it's just like bombarded with an overwhelming amount of cheesiness to the point where you can't even appreciate the texture of a good pasta within that sauce, I'm not for it. And I think it's constantly being overdone where you're drowning out the best part of this dish. Like, okay, yeah, it's cheesy. I get it. How much cheese do I need overloaded in this thing? Sheesh.
Oh, I think mac and cheese is probably the best. I get like you can ruin a good mac and cheese. I think normally the thing that ruins it for me is breadcrumbs over the top. Not a breadcrumb mac and cheese person. Just it's noodles and cheese. Like we can live with that.
Also keep those noodles more al dente. They always come out way too overdone, and then they're so mushy. It's like they might as well be a part of the cheese sauce.
I'm getting bummed to write a blog. He's going to be a mac and cheese critic because he's got everything here. Let's circle back around.
I think Bohm has a gripe with what his mom's cooking tomorrow. That sounded personal.
He might. You might not be wrong.
All right. Back to back on controversial takes. I don't know what we're doing with ham on the Thanksgiving plate.
Oh, no.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
Ham is
doesn't
the best thing
in
there, too.
Are you vetoing that pick?
No, I can't veto. I have no veto powers in this. I could give myself the power, but I'm not giving myself veto
power. Clotheslining him before he gets the good L.
Imagine, are we putting gravy with ham? Are we sticking the mashed potatoes out? So it's just there. It does not complement the plate, and it doesn't make any sense. There's plenty of other holidays to use ham with, not Thanksgiving.
If you let me go turkey or ham, and I could only cook one, I'm taking a ham every single time. Make that the main portion of the dish. I love a good ham. I think that's the best thing. I guess where I go next, I have to attack the dessert table. I have to go for it. Pumpkin pie is not that good, guys. Pumpkin pie is not that good. Like, apple pie, better. Pecan pie might rival it, might be up there. It's like it's neck and neck with pumpkin pie. I'm good for, like, one pumpkin pie slice a year, okay? One a year, and that's it. I get a little whipped cream on the top and a scoop of ice cream, and I'm good. Like, it's like, all right, this is okay. But if I had to eat more than one piece of this, I think I would be disappointed. Every time. That's absurd. Every time. I'm never happy with it. It just, I don't know.
It is peak fall.
No.
Like, it's pumpkin, give me an apple it's pie. Cinnamon, it's beautiful.
Give me a Dutch apple pie. Give me a blueberry pie. I don't even like cherry. Give me a cherry pie. Anything else. Anything else over pumpkin pie.
So there's a full pumpkin pie left on the table. There's a full cherry and limoncello pie. You're going right for either ones. You're saying no way.
No. I have one piece of pumpkin pie, and then I go anything else.
See, I have pumpkin pie for breakfast the next day, lunch the next day, dinner the next day, midnight snack.
One piece. That is my limit. It's more of a side and not even necessarily a side. It's like, is it a condiment? I don't know. Gravy. Right, I'm going great. Like, so you might be able to tell this because I'm not a big turkey person, and I have mashed potatoes as my first pick. Why do we gotta smother? And I like a breakfast gravy, and maybe this just speaks how fat I am, but like breakfast gravy is delicious. That is the most amazing thing. Like, I'll take my dinner roll or my biscuit or cornbread, and I'll put breakfast gravy over the top of it. I don't care if you want to give me breakfast gravy, but like brown and chicken gravy. I'm just never for it. Maybe it's because I don't have anything that I like to pair it with. But even when I try to pair it with something, like, I'm like, oh, turkey's dry, let's add the gravy. Still bad. I don't like the taste of either. Combo them together, it doesn't make a difference. It's not better. I'm concluding my Mount Rushmore with gravy.
What do you put on your plate? There's no turkey.
Nope.
There's no gravy.
Mac and cheese. It's great. Love a good mac and cheese. Green bean casserole, whatever anybody wants to say. Love green bean casserole.
Hell yeah.
I'll go bread. Well, what else? I'll throw some ham on there. Listen, I'm eating good, all right? I'm having good eats.
But then, you know, look, everybody works very hard for Thanksgiving, but some things just tend to be dry. Gravy is the perfect duct tape to that.
So why are we making them if they tend to be dry? Who wants to eat dry food?
I agree with you, but, you know, you go over to your in-laws and...
Yeah, and then I put gravy on it, and it's not any better.
I think it just makes it 10 times better. It makes it edible, at least.
I mean, it helps with the dryness. Doesn't help with the flavor for me. Like, I don't think turkey tastes that great either. It's like, eh.
It is the duct tape that holds together the dinner.
Well, I would like my dinner to stand alone without duct tape, so I'm going to rock without it.
All right, my last pick, you mentioned it, I'm going with pecan pie. Never, I've always tried to like it to pretend to be healthy when I'm eating dessert, but the whole full nuts in pie, it's never good. I get out of here. I'm a pumpkin pie fan. We talked about that. Apple pie. Those are your two for two. But pecan pie, no.
Not See about ya. It. Well,
I don't hate either of those. I like a little pecan pie. I like it slightly better than pumpkin pie. I did have pumpkin pie and sweet potato on my list, and you took both of those, Jake. So I'm going to take the last one here with the desserts to round this thing out. And I'm going to say the vegetable breads, like the carrot cake and the zucchini cake, is like the only reason that I can comprehend why people might be eating that. Maybe you think it's slightly less healthy, but oh, it's covered in this cream cheese frosting drenched all over it. Like, are you really cutting out sugar? So I don't know. To me, it seems like a pointless endeavor. I appreciate the effort, you know, the approach, but it doesn't taste that good where it's like, oh, I need to have either my carrot or zucchini cake here in this.
Interesting. I don't know. Like, is that a... Did we go staple? Is that like something that you see at like a lot of Thanksgivings? I feel like... I'm not saying it's not. Like, I've seen it places, but I don't know. That is that something we go in a staple? Like, you've never had a Thanksgiving without that?
I've seen it at Thanksgivings I've gone to, but...
Okay, I'm not... Like I said, I don't think you're necessarily
pumpkin
wrong.
Pumpkin pie was already taken, okay?
He was going from the bottom of the barrel. All right, Boehm, you ended up with turkey, creamy mac and cheese specifically. What was your third pick?
Was that it? I think that was it, right? The zucchini bread?
We had four. Did Boehm have to go back-to-back there?
Yeah, he needed to go back-to-back.
You got
to
go back-to-back.
We got lost in the snake.
Yep. We got lost in the snake. This is the worst scenario. Boehm, you got one more still.
Beer.
Beer. Wow.
Just makes, I mean, after eating all that food, it's
pack
just
it on.
It'd be so bloated. So bloated. I don't need any of that. That just a little too much. You already got to loosen the belt buckle. You want to mix in the carbonated alcoholic beverage with that.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know.
All right, so Boehm ends up with turkey, creamy mac and cheese specifically, carrot and zucchini cake, and beer. Anthony finished off homemade cranberry sauce, dinner roll, ham, pecan pie, and I end up with mashed potatoes, sweet potato casserole, pumpkin pie, and the all-inclusive gravy. All right, I want to go out to one call here before we get to an end. Daryl's in Euclid. Daryl, what do you got?
Hey, man, this is so funny, man. This is what I love about the differences in races, right? Not that anybody's better, anybody's less, but it's just the difference in us. Dude, I just heard three of my Caucasian brothers say they could do without macaroni and cheese.
Well, I did not say that. Don't throw that on me. I did not say ham or mac and cheese. Those are staples, and I'm not going without them. That's on my plate.
I heard people say they could do without ham and gravy. Man, do you know if you walked into a black household and one of those three was not there, you are not having a good time. You're never going to walk into a black household and neither one of those things are there. Dude, the bread, that's it. The dinner roll, I feel like if I eat a dinner roll, I'm taking away 10 bites of food because it does nothing but fill you up, right?
All right.
So I heard this is the difference between this guy and I have never even seen a zucchini bread. What in the hell is that?
I think I've seen like one Thanksgiving where it's like it's a store-bought something on the plate with like Boehm was describing perfectly, like the cream cheese over the top. That's like I stopped at my supermarket before this and I grabbed it and I brought it because I had to bring something.
Let me ask you three. Yep. Does it sound good?
No.
Zucchini.
No.
It doesn't even have a ring to it, man.
Why are we vegetables and bread? Why are we putting it in one thing?
Dude, it's ridiculous. No, man. The number one has got to be the dinner roll, man. That is just, and you know what? Sweet potato pie on our end. We eat sweet potato pie. We don't eat pumpkin pie. We eat sweet potato pie. That's overrated to me. So, and they taste the same.
Yeah, they are very similar. I'll give you that for sure. Daryl, appreciate the call as always, man.
All right.
Got a couple of things over on X as well, so I wanted to make sure that we got to those. Jack chiming in with turkey. Feeling it the exact same way. I mean, listen, I'm never going to disagree. If you come with me a turkey, I'm never going to be on the other end of it. Belks chime in. Turkey, pumpkin pie, deviled eggs is one that might have been missed, and cranberry sauce. He also chimed in. He said, you always come at me every time I tweet at you, but let's agree this is common ground. We are on common ground now, Belks. We are on common ground. You've named a perfect Mount Rushmore of things that are completely overrated, so I'm there with you. All right, Shane, I see you on the line. We'll jump back when we get to here on the other side. We'll sneak in before... I want to circle back to Ohio State and get back here maybe to the sports world before I probably get ripped off the air by our bosses. But you can't throw the records out the window in the rivalry game. Like, that is the cliche. I hate that saying. I want to know if you feel the same way. We'll get to it on the other end. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here on The Fan. I would say it's overrated. I think it's probably closer to hated. Like, it's probably polarizing, I would say, but I'll let you say it's overrated. There's enough people that like it that I think you can chime in and sort of go into it. I also very funnily got two texts from my mother. My comments have gotten mac and cheese and green bean casserole removed from Thanksgiving dinner, so downvote for me. And also, as I would expect my mother to, is holding my manners to accountability. Luca Macedonia, Daryl and Euclid, I didn't wish you guys happy Thanksgivings. So happy Thanksgivings to you. I apologize I didn't do it in the first place. But no, I thought it was fun. I mean, always appreciate you guys chiming in. So I thought it was a good conversation to have. It's never a bad one. I'll take it up with Nick Wilson whether or not it's Hack Radio. But where I wanted to go, the cliche of when you get into a rivalry game, you... and I quote, throw the records out the window. It is probably one of the dumbest cliches that I've ever heard. Right? Like, I understand to some degree that when you get into a rivalry game, like, you're more prone to upsets. Crazy things are bound to happen. Like, if you want to talk about crazy upsets in a rivalry game, I always think of the Iron Bowl. Kick six. Like, you just get wild things that you don't expect to happen. I also think you get that in regular football games, too. But I don't think the idea of throwing it out the window. Like, Ohio State fans are talking about how close this game is going to be against Michigan and how they expect it to be close. I heard Nick say it earlier today. I heard Spencer this morning when we were recording Sons of the Shoe, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Odyssey app, 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel, wherever you want to get it. Shameless plug. But we talked about that this morning. Spencer's somewhat scared, like 50 points against Northwestern. Has him a little nervous that maybe Michigan's offense has figured it out. You go into the rivalry game, it's that one step up. I'm thankful to have JP on my side in this conversation. Because, like, no, Michigan is a bad football team. Decent defense, horrendous offense. You don't just get to throw everything out the window. That's not what happens here. We don't get to just pretend that the teams leading up to this point, the games that they've played don't matter. You should absolutely focus on this game if you're the teams coming into it, right? You don't want to overlook opponents. And when it comes to the game, neither team is ever overlooking this one. We know Ohio State, since the minute they walk into the building, there's a clock in every place you can imagine counting down to this game. They're never overlooking this one. This is not one... that they ever have to worry about. When is it's Michigan coming. No. They are fully prepared and always ready for it. They talk about it all year long leading up to this. This is what you play for. Being a Buckeye comes with this game. And the high expectations that you have for it. The high intensity and focus that you put on it. The game isn't some watch out for Michigan game. That's not what this should be this year. Some years when, you know, maybe you're getting like a sneaky good team that's maybe on the edge of a top 25 or just slightly farther down than that. Not the last 3 years where you've had it where they could legitimately be national title contenders, but where they're a good team, but maybe you don't compare them to Ohio State. I could buy that. Or maybe they've just had a bad season, but even on both ends of the ball, they've looked good or have caught some momentum. It's not even that. They've just been downright bad. Ohio State is going to dominate this game. There's not a doubt in my mind that they don't come out of this one easily double-digit winners, and I'd be willing to bet a lot closer to the spread. Right, like you're probably coming out somewhere around being 20, 21, 28 point winners in this game. Because as good as Michigan's defense looks, the offense looks so much worse for every positive they have the on defense. The offense takes a negative step twice, two steps backwards for the offense. I mean, we got quarterback battles between Davis Warren and Alex Orji. A guy who is a walk-on and a quarterback who really can't throw the football. He's a good runner. What are we doing here? They put up 50 points against Northwestern, and this is probably my least favorite conversation that I've had across the entire discussion of the game. You got to be scared of the offense. Look what they did against Northwestern. Guys, we're talking about Northwestern. I don't know how bad the Wildcats scared you when you were walking into Wrigley Field, but we played them on a baseball field. That pretty much tells me all I need to know. We played this game on a baseball field. I couldn't see a Carnell Tate touchdown because somebody's head was in my way in 2024. Northwestern is not a team where I'm like, well, Ohio State only beat them by this much and Michigan beat them by this much. Like, if you're going direct game-to-game comparisons with opponents, chances are you're going to have something to pick on every single year with every single opponent. Well, if it's in your conference, sure, another team is probably going to beat them worse. There's nothing more to that. We shouldn't be comparing games against Northwestern. This is just one where I have no fear. Michigan is the only team in the country without a 40-plus yard play this year. I want to say it was Pete Futek on with the afternoon guys. It was basically like, Michigan might go up 10 to nothing. And then Ohio State will end up dominating 38-10. And if Michigan makes a 20-yard play at any point during the game, you basically go, yep, tip of the cap. Next play. Because you're probably going to do it again. I think it's to the point where Michigan fans are sort of accepting the loss at this point. Right? Maybe not fully accepting it, but they're expecting it. It's like, yeah, we know we're not that good this year. We're prepared that if you lose this game, we'll eat it on the chin and sort of move on. We'll get ready for next year because you can't expect a 6-win team to walk in on the other side and actually compete with the number 2 team in the country. So no, I wouldn't say throw out the records. I would say you very clearly have an advantage if you're Ohio State. You are the much better team. And the cliche that goes along with that is that these games are always close. And anybody can win, and you get everybody's best football. These games are not always close. You get blowouts all the time in the history of the game. Urban Meyer's entire tenure was practically a blowout for Ohio State against Michigan. My gosh, I just skipped a beat there. Like, well, why is it that we think just because it's a rivalry game, it instantly has to be close? When both teams are good, it's close. Every once in a while, one of the teams shows up to play that you didn't necessarily expect to show up. And it's like, ooh, almost maybe overlooked him or didn't take him as seriously as we should have. Good thing we got away with that. More often than not, when you get into scenarios of a really good football team playing a really bad football team, yeah, rivalries are fun. And I guarantee you both teams are going to attempt to bring their A game, but talent wins out. The better team wins out. That's the bottom line. I have zero fear going into this week if I'm an Ohio State fan, and I am. No fear at all. I expect you to get into this game. I don't know if you start good early because the Buckeyes haven't been able to do that, but by the end of it, I expect you to have taken care of business. I don't know how you see it any other way. 216-474-0092. Am I crazy for saying that cliche, throw out the records in a rivalry game? Is just downright bogus. You can also get to me on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake. On the other end, we'll bring in Anthony Allant. Change your mind. He's got some good stuff cooked up. I got a little preview. It's going to be some good stuff. I'm going to do it when we come back. Jake Volnick right here on The Fan.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.